Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatest of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
You, yes. What a particular idea. They call me the master teacher, and I'm scripturing from the Old Testament. It's a very old tradition within the associations of the correspondences of your individual mind that I can present to you with a new involved certainty about what I discovered, the strength and truth that is possible in you. And we intend to do it together. And I thank you for continuing to accept a variance of presence based on this scripture. This was Isaiah, incidentally. And many Christians have used it as verification for the appearance of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and certainly I intend to do it this morning. I'm on a sojourn from out of time, as directed by Jesus, our mutual Savior, in the fulfillment of the covenant of recognition of each other within time. Isaiah says very simply, first of all, that the equality of the entirety of any association in time will be established by the singularity of the frame of light that represents the conversion of the nature of our correspondence with each other. But he goes further than that. Isaiah says very simply, Jacob, Israel, why are you worried about something that's mysterious? Why are you worried about Jehovah, someone that's going to allow you or judge you in your associations of evilness as separated from God? It's not what he says. He says, I'm with you. Practice. The Lord of hosts is with me now. Will you say that to me? The Lord of hosts, God, is present with us now. Listen carefully to me. Okay. The experience that you are beginning to undergo with me is a sure indication that you have located yourself in the truth of who you are, not in regard to the objective universe, which heretofore condemned you to a separate association in time and did not allow you to view my express certainty to you that our Savior, I'm going to use Jesus of Nazareth, should I? That our Savior is walking with you as he said he would. And in the scripture of Isaiah, are you ready? Your name has particularly been called by God in your recognition of your power of mind in a complete reversal of the idea of separation to the certainty of the presence of a continuity of time that expresses itself in a totality of expansion. Is he with us now? We found this through prayer, didn't we? Jesus has offered us in his New Testament and in his Course in Miracles the immediacy of a solution based on self-recognition. It's the fundamental idea that no matter where you go in space-time, identified as what you think you are, you cannot not be a part of the whole, and that this part will be revealed to you in a light reflection that finds a new basis for location, not based on your previous identity. Most of you know, my time here is very short. I'll be here today, I will be leaving tomorrow again. Shall we practice a little bit? I'm going to occupy this body, which you can identify as a 77-year-old guy. I'm not 77, I'm only 76. I count from inception rather than birth. The reason I know that I'm 77 is my dad remembers when I was consummated. A little story for you. I was born on Easter Sunday morning, 1926. I emerged from the womb on January 9th, 1927. 1927? What year is this? What year is it?
2002.
The end of 2002. It's going to be 2003. So if you identify me, you're going to say to me, despite the power of the heavenly host who has revealed to me a whole new bright association in time, that I'm 77 years old. You may do that if you choose. I assure you that having been born again, okay, yesterday I appeared here, reassociated myself entirely, both in time and in space, will be here today and will be leaving tomorrow. Practice. That's impossible. Say it. Yeah, of course it's impossible. Because in the factoring of your association of objective reality, you really believe that I'm a 77-year-old guy. I'm not. Okay, and if you'll allow me to, I'll show you. What book am I going to use? Oh, I'm going to use, if you'll share with me, both Romans 8 and the mystery of quantum entanglement. The connection, did that seem to offend you? That's too bad. Listen, the connection of the dilemma of Paul that's expressed in Romans, and, you know, having realized the entirety of himself, every time he objectifies himself, he's in sin. The Quantum Entanglement book, and we'll read a little bit of it with your permission, offers you what we would call molecular entanglement at any single moment so that the particleization of your mind can recognize a complete association objectively outside of yourself with who you really are. The dilemma of the entanglement is very simply, I'm going to wait just a minute. Stay with me because I intend to read that association. Here, the idea that you can make connections conceptually in your mind in regard to the New Testament, in regard to the idea that, say to me, Jesus was a time traveler. Of course he was a time traveler. from the time he comes here, and as he is here now with us. He says the time will come, and what? Is now. The time will come, and is now, when you'll be able to fulfill the association you have both with this identity and the one that you have with this identity. Do you see that? From the dark over into the light, based on your recognition of yourself in this association, in which you recognize me, not in your separate association, but in a moment of communication with each other, all right, where we dissolve in the relief of the mechanism of light separation, that is the speed of light, into an instant of recognition. Are you ready? That actually we can't be located at all. The first thing our Savior says when he appears here is, you're not from here. What's he going to say? Stop trying to locate yourself here. Your whole problem is objectively your rejection of instantaneous communication available through a mind training augmented, originated by the mind of Jesus of Nazareth that can show you on a continuing basis an alternative to who you think you are. You want to listen why? In my revelation, in my devastation, I discovered to my happy surprise that I'm not a 77-year-old body. Say to me, I'm not, and say your age. Yes, you're not a body. That's not who you are. The idea that that's who you are is an objective association of light form that gives you a reflection within time with a fundamental admission that you're already over. Here, on this video, I know you believe that I performed this video, I guess you were told it was 2002 years after the birth of our Christ, soon to become 2003 in the celebration of his birth. Listen carefully to me. The celebration of the birth of our Savior Jesus is going on in this moment in your recognition of your brother who is standing next to you, giving you a true reflection of yourself based on his message. I'll abide with you until the end of time. The attention that I'm giving you now as what you would term a so-called risen master, whatever you think that is, a mystic, a revealing, is my certainty, and this again is from Isaiah, that all of your correspondences of human identity and the idea of a separate God, listen to me there, have denied you access to the entirety of the availability of a communication of instant recognition of the other who will become you. When we read in this quantum idea, the idea of entanglement, all right, it will defy the observation of objective reality. Now, how a quantum physicist handles that in his idea of the necessity to retain his objective identity cannot concern me. If I can get him to acknowledge that his objective identity is what is denying him the complete association in an expansion of light based on a moment of devastation in which the entirety of his location is lost. This is pretty much what the prophet fulfilled Paul says in Romans in a letter that he wrote following his certainty of the resurrection of the body of Jesus Christ. Yes, we'll quiet down for a minute. Shall we do that? It's necessary that we quiet down just for a moment. I have a tendency to charge into the idea that you're going to recognize me. Let's try a prayer, a little story from Jesus in the New Testament with a prayer. that will allow you just for a moment to find this correspondence here. Correspondence. All right. Rest your concepts a moment. And listen. If thy whole body be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. My true identity is so secure, so lofty, so sinless, so glorious and great, so holy, beneficent, and free from guilt, that heaven looks to it to give it light. It lights the world as well. It is the gift my Father gave to me, the one as well I give the world. There is no gift but this that can be either given nor received. This is reality, and only this. This is illusion's end, because it is the truth. My name, O Father, still is known to you. I have forgotten it and do not know where I'm going or who I am or what it is that I do. Remind me, Father, now, for I am weary of the world that I see. Reveal what you would have me see instead. Reveal to me what you would have me see instead. He revealed to me through an enlightenment of my correspondence in time, my certainty that I may, through that prayer and the one-eyedness of my dedication to a single solution within this time frame, recognize a new correspondence that reverses the procedure of objective reality. This prayer through our Savior Jesus allows me to recognize that I am responsible for what I'm seeing, that I am choosing and have chosen the correspondence that I want to be true in my relationship with my location in time, and am verifying it within what you term my 76-year-old body. Nonsense. We are not bodies. Say that to me. Say that to me. I'm not a body. Come on now. I need a verification from the quantum physicists. Are you listening to me? This will be a verification of the illusionary nature of the objective association of the correspondences of light. Very simply, the conversion of the particle idea, which is a mass potential contained within the wave of energy, that the moment it's totally identified anywhere in space-time, it literally disappears. The simple fact of the matter is, you're living in a correspondence of an illusion of light that at no single time actually exists at all. As fanciful as that may seem to you. The dilemma for which you and by which you are suffering now is your innate capacity to remain in a memory form of who you are within the illusion, and herein believe that I am a 77-year-old body outside of yourself. The problem you have with me now is the same problem that you're going to find from many of the teachers of God now going out into the world through a newfound correspondence with Jesus of Nazareth, who allows them to participate in his direction. That the power of the universe is given to them, not in aggregation, but in momentary recognition of a new location in time that's available simply by the reversal of the idea that there's something out there that can cause you concern. The fundamental teachings of our workbook of A Course in Miracles from Jesus offer you continuing evidence that if you'll practice the idea that your meaningless thoughts are showing you a meaningless world, or most particularly in the quantum idea, lesson number 6, that says all of the upsetness that you're feeling in regard to yourself at this moment are in a literal sense. Lesson 6, you're seeing something that's not there. Sure enough, I picked up the Quantum Entanglement book, and it's now been verified that the moment you locate something opposite from yourself in its exact position, it no longer contains any momentum by which you can verify its location. The connection between Romans, when Paul says to you, every moment I seem to be in sin, even though I know I am pure, is exactly what I just tried to express to you. Can you feel the joy that's evident in me in the reasoning process of self-recognition? If you let me make this quantum connection, listen, if you let me make my certainty of the possibility and therefore inevitability of instant communication, if you let me show you that there is no distance in our correspondence with each other except as defined by our determination to locate ourselves separately in time, the solution will be very evident to you. And that all the strength, all the power, not based on age, remember Isaiah, what we just read? It doesn't have anything to do with all the gratification you got as an old guy sitting there, having fulfilled an obligation of self-annihilation. It won't work. You can't annihilate yourself within a location in space-time, because the location in space-time is what the annihilation is. And the moment you don't locate yourself in the idea of separation, you will resurrect. These are the terms of the power of your mind to reorganize yourself in a conceptual identity. So we're going to learn from this scripture that your name, say to me, if you want to practice, say to me, my name is holy. Yeah. And you listen to me, this is from Jesus. Your name is written in the book. And you say to me, well, how can God possibly know my name? And my answer is very simply, God knows you perfectly well because you're his living son. So he's really not concerned about what you call yourself. The obvious problem you have in the world, if that's true, all right, the universal mind of God is judging us, if he could judge, in the entirety of our associations, not only with our individual selves, but in our relationship with each other. This is the message that my Savior Jesus brought to me so that he could show me in a demonstration of his resurrection that there's no distance between you and your brother. That was a fast 27 minutes, wasn't it? I'm told that there was a sequence in time in which I would appear with you, offer you the immediate solution in another 27 minutes, which we may return and do, so you can combine at this time the fulfillment of the prophecy on which your present location is based. There's no question that you prophesied an idea of the future. The problem you have is, if you hold on to the prophecy of the aging process of your body, you're going to get that result. Come on, you can hear me. Now, I deny that I'm a 77-year-old body. The power that is now revealed to me is very simply the recognition of myself in a true identity with the light factors that heretofore justified the conflict that I felt in the relationship of space-time. It's over and it's gone. I'll be right back. The reason it's over and gone is because God goes with us wherever we go, being the mind with which we think. So we practice together. God bless us, each and every one, because we found a new location in time that had been waiting for us. That for another 27 minutes I sat with the Paul of Tarsus this morning for about 2 hours. We reviewed together all of the writings that he had performed, listening, and is performing now in new ideas we can share, all right, since you want to use the idea of 2,000 years ago. All I'm really doing is offering you what you call a contemporary scripture of your identity with yourself, very simply because you are contemporary. And the immediacy of the availability of a new space-time location that I'm offering you from my new space-time location, or this teacher of God here, who in our recognition of each other will also offer it to you, so that the frequency of light correspondence, what we call power of mind, is enhanced very simply by a new momentary definition of yourself. Listen carefully to me in this. This is what I'm going to read you in Romans. Paul and I talked about this. There's no question that when Paul underwent his horrendous Damascus experience, in which the light was greater than any power contained with this illusion, and his face was burned physically, and he couldn't see, and this voice says to him, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" There's absolutely no question in my mind, and certainly not in Paul's, that the resurrected Jesus was speaking to him. More than just speaking to him, the resurrected Jesus was going to demonstrate to him the power of his mind in the converting agency of his persecution of Jesus, to employ a new passion that would show him through Jesus's recognition that all of the conflict that he previously objectified in his determination not to accept the message for fear of the loss of himself was termed and found futile by Paul simply because he lost himself. In a literal sense, Saul was dead. The moment that Saul was dead within his mind and the power of the light illusion of Jesus, he knew instantly that he had never been alive. That's what I'm offering you. I'm offering you my certainty that whatever I was as a 76-year-old or 50-year-old, how about 30, how about 16, how about 7-year-old, whatever I was within this aggregation of correspondence within space-time, I knew that there was fundamentally something wrong with where I was located in time. there was simply fundamentally something misplaced. Jesus calls this sin. And the realignment of the light of our correspondence based on the Old and New Testament and the current contemporary testament of those who are undergoing the enlightening experience are going to show you individually that the aggregations by which you previously identified yourself in location simply justified the illusion that you're a body. So in the Romans, Paul attempts to express to anyone who wants to hear it, actually the letters to the Romans were intended for, this morning he reminded me, were intended for distribution to anyone that would want to hear them, just as you have an entitlement now to listen to the script of Paul, who through his own illumination recognized the physical resurrection of Jesus and is attempting to teach it to the world. It's very much the same idea that I'm attempting to teach you within your time factor of objective association, that my body is at this time regenerating. Now, the method by which you attempt to prove my resurrection, and this is directly from Jesus, will be the denial of it. Very simply because you are determined to continue to have your experience of natural man that literally will locate you in a sequence of time where you're going to occupy this body, and you're going to get old, and you're going to get sick, and you're going to die. I need to take that idea and allow you to examine it with me so that you can see in the examination of the idea of objective reality is the power to change your mind about who you are, so that the reference I'm giving you is a correspondence within your own mind, abet objectively within the illusionary procedure of light that justifies your location, that at any moment I am offering you the entirety of the solution in an expansion of the universe to the certainty that once it was located in a single point of compactness, of dark energy, it simply disappeared and is no more. The verification of the quantum physicists that no location can actually be verified is what I'm offering you. What I want you to do, if you begin to practice this workbook through Jesus, is stop trying to locate yourself. You see this with me? You see that? As long as you attempt to get a reflection of who you think I am in the correspondence of your mind, you'll have an aggregation of light form that you will actually believe is your body. What I want you to see from me, that every body that you see out there is simply a reflection of your sin. Say to me, I'm very sinful. I'm going to get to Romans 8 here in a minute. Of course you're very sinful. You've located aggregations of correspondences of light energy outside of yourself and are attempting to identify them within an alignment of light that denies you the entirety of the access to your own mind in correspondence with God in the universe. Amen. Amen. Practice. Time to practice. Then we'll read a little Romans here. I am whole and perfect as I was created. Why don't you say it? Well, at least you can whisper. Why don't you whisper it? He tells me I'm whole and perfect as I was created. Everything in your association of correspondence of concepts is denying you the entirety of that concept. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned only that you say it. This is the mind practice of our course, and it's working. I'm concerned that you only say, Let's go to lesson number 6. I'm very upset. I'm upset because... I'm upset because I see something that's not there. Oh, the hell, it's not there. I can see perfectly well it's there. Oh, that's what's upsetting me. Because I am determined to hold on to it in my objective association and find a special relationship that denies me access to the entirety of God, I'm upset. Of course you're upset. Lesson number 7, teachers. I see only the past. The reason you're upset with me is I'm denying your temporal correspondence with me in relationship with our separate bodies. Come on. I'm offending you and you don't intend to accept me. The only way, this is directly from the resurrected mind of Jesus. The only thing you can reject me will be to objectify yourself as separate from my offering. In that event, you literally annihilate yourself or kill yourself in the necessity to deny what? Your own Christhood. One thing we know for sure in the New Testament, that our Savior, now being associated with me in mind, okay, gave us a particular reference that contained in us was all power. Practice. All power is given to me on earth and in heaven. Why don't you say it? Am I too fanciful for you? Am I appearing in a continuum of time that in a particular sense you literally cannot identify with? Of course not. As long as you retain objective associations of the idea of the illusion that surrounds you and the particulars of what you identify as a location in space-time, you can't see me. You never will be able to see me because you are looking through a form of light recognition that denies in its entirety your access to the immediacy of the correspondence of our associations in light with each other. So Paul intends to talk to the Romans, but he's going to express the dilemma that he has with himself in the message he's trying to teach, so that you can express to me the dilemma that you have with yourself in a fundamental acceptance of the message I'm giving you. Listen. For I was alive without the law once, or at least I thought I was, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Because while I wanted to follow the idea of the Lord, I did it within a context of recognition of location that was denying me, through Jesus' recognition and resurrection, the totality of my relationship with the universe. I'm going to read you a little more, okay? This is from Romans. When was this written? 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years, big deal. You act, come on, body. Just because you're limited to your 50 or 60 years, you think that 2,000 years is a long time. Try not to be absurd. The universe, as you identify it within the perspectives of recognition of the idea of a single location that expanded forever, is about 13,000 million years old. So try not to be too concerned about this little 2,000 year aspect. Shall I tell you why? I just saw it. Who do you suppose is standing next to you right now? Jesus. Look. Jesus. Give her a look. What? You listening to me? Never mind who's standing next to you. Can you hear that? Jesus communicates through his mind. I'm communicating with you through our minds. Why? I am totally indifferent to the body that you appear to occupy. Practice. I'm not a body. Say it. Okay. Turn to the guy next to you. This is Jesus going to speak to you. He's going to say, hey, you're not a body. He can say you're free. He's going to say you're still as God created you. So the guy standing next to you is your Savior? I don't know who the hell else he would be. Everything will save you if you let it, because the power of your mind, based on this scripture, to decide you want to be whole is yours to make. Of course he's standing next to you. What did he tell you? Okay, will you do one thing for me in your continuum? I'm leaving tomorrow. Get him down off the cross. I'm just tired. I saw this morning, here you are about to celebrate his birth, and then in 3 months, or whatever you call it, at Easter, you're going to hang him back up on the cross again. You're going to hold to an Old Testament, a prophecy, which I read you in Isaiah, as if it hadn't been fulfilled in our relationship with the resurrection of Jesus. Practice. The salvation of the world depends on me. Now, the guy next to you can say to you, boy, am I ever glad that you're here. Now, he's going to question in his mind whether that's true or not. So conceptually, this is directly from our Savior, you're going to question together whether all power is given unto you in heaven and earth. Because certainly if power is singular, the objective associations that you set up to separate each other from each other has to deny you the entirety of the power of light. Very simply because you have fractured it objectively within your own minds in relation to the universe and formulated it into billions of galaxies that appear to be separate from each other in the relationship of what we would call the redundancy of a formulation, of a factoring, of a continuity of acceleration that would indicate the speed of light. Okay, very simply, in the quantum idea, you believe that at a certain speed, you can reach a certain destination. If I go 60 miles an hour, in 1 hour, I will have gone 60 miles. And while you can prove that that would be true very close to entirety of a perspective, this is quantum, now I'm going to read it to you, there's no way that you can prove within the association of your recognition of it how you got there. And no matter how much you're determined to say, I can prove how I got to that location, this is in the quantum book, you can't. If you prove precisely where you are located, the manner in which you got there will disappear. I'm going to take a step with you, quantum physicist. The reason that is true, that when you locate yourself exactly where you find yourself out there, are you listening? It will be here. And you have collapsed the necessity for an association, let's call it momentum. Because you believe in the utilization of mass converted to momentum. Now, conversely, if you have a momentum of an association of yourself, you can find yourself anywhere in time, but there's no way that you can find it specifically. Say to me the Jesus uncertainty principle. Of course. What Jesus says to you, very simply, is Heisenberg. Is that the Copenhagen solution? Anyone in his right mind with a little revelation of mine can understand that his location is false. Say to me, my location is false. Yes. Yet you're still defining yourself in your own falsity. Yes or no? You've already admitted to me that you're not where you say you are. So now you say to me, well, if I'm not where I say I am, perhaps I'm out there. That will be true as long as you don't attempt to apply the momentum of getting there in order to be there. You listening to me? The simple solution, this is directly from the resurrected mind and from my mind, if you want to hear me, say to me, I'm everywhere. Yeah, of course. If you're whole within the relationship of the creative reality of everything that is, why would it not be possible for you to be anywhere that you wanted to be through the simple admission that initially, this is a tachyon field of energy, that you already are everywhere. Now, the ordeal of losing, listen, where you think you are, is death. Are you listening? Practice. What dies was never real. You're hearing me, aren't you? The reason you're going to hear me now, are you ready? This is the time that you heard me. If you're in objective associations with yourself, in correspondence with each other, a fundamental admission, let's use forgiveness for a minute, the fundamental admission that the ordeal you're in correspondence with the emotion of reciprocity. I watched your television this morning and it's absurd. There's a guy going to get out of jail after 30 years and the guy's been suffering for 30 years in order to keep someone else in prison. I don't want to get into it. The only thing he possibly could have been present was his own mind. Because an objective association, separate from what you are you listening? Is what imprisonment is. Yes, I'm going to Paul is anxious for me to do a little scripture. The reason that I'm offering you the entirety of the solution at this time is we have a mind training that has allowed us each moment to begin to view ourselves objectively in a new perspective of time. Now you say to me, it's impossible that you be occupying a two-day-old body. My answer to you is, why? If Albert, I'll use Einstein, has taught me that time in its association with itself is completely relative, and that the closer I get to 186,000 miles a second, the less time will pass, why can't I show you my discovery of a new continuum of time going on at this time, okay? That will give us a relationship of the power that we previously defended in our idea of location. Convert the energy of potential contained within the light and utilize the possessions that previously held us in bondage. Paul is smiling at me. Jesus is very pleased with this too. What am I really telling you? You ready? I'm responsible for what I see. Say it. I'm choosing the result that I want within my own correspondence of objective association. And everything that is happening to me, I have chosen, will choose, and am choosing now to associate myself in a correspondence with eternal life. Fundamentally, all I really offered you through the scripture of Jesus was my certainty of the necessity for your own resurrection. And my time is up in this first hour. I found myself, I'm determined I'm going to do one more hour. I don't know what you're going to entitle this. I guess we're going to entitle it Romans 8. the complaint that just went abroad. He said he was going to teach Romans 8 and he didn't teach it. All I said to you was Romans 8. Why? Paul and I shared together the dilemma in the letter that he wrote to human beings that had already aggregated in the dark form in order to justify the resurrection. In their justification of the formulation of this location in time was, in a literal sense, the denial of the immediacy of the availability of it, not only through Jesus Christ, but in the objective associations of their mind that previously held them in the idea of death. I'm going to leave you with this from Jesus. Look at me. Let the dead bury the dead. There is no life in containment. There is no life in the idea of location or objectivity that justified the mistake, the idea of sin, the idea that in your mind, in this dream of death, you could have been separated from eternal life. I'm in your dream. I'm a character. If you want to call me a 76-year-old, go ahead, I don't care. You're going to get to the result of what you believe I am in your relationship with yourself. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go. For my goodness sake, I saw you see me. You recognize me. Who are you recognizing? Yourself in relationship with your own dream. I'm a character in your dream. I'll come back and confirm it. Let's say it together. God bless us, everyone, and surround us at this time through forgiving thoughts of love, the totality of our association with our brother. I'll be right back.